It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running for this 29th day of July. Just two more days after this left in July. We'll leave July behind on Friday on the front porch. This Friday, of course. And, it's going to be one of those evenings here in the Naked Radio Fabulous Horn Studios. 90 degrees and the air conditioner, just not able to keep up. It got rather hot. It's probably hotter in here than it is outside right now. But I have cold, refreshing beverages of the not beverages. You know, I got some sugar-free ice cold Kool-Aid is what it boils down to. So I'll try to I'll get through this as best I possibly can. If it gets too sweltering, I may bail out early. I hate to say that, but it's just true. Because nobody wants to listen to a hillbilly have heat stroke. At least I hope not. Hi, I'm Bob. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. And of course, because we're not as stupid as real churches, this fake church is exercising caution and... Well, we're in a closed down status. Okay? Yeah. Nonetheless, I do remain Uber Pope, ultimate Imam, animated animist, antagonized agnostic, vicarious vicar, maximum metropolitan, good hearted guru, munificent mullah. Bob Kincaid, and this still is the Cathedral of Common Sense. The little old blue-haired ladies got out the wok earlier today and assayed some Mushu chicken to send out in the to-go boxes. And, you know, the plum sauce, the little rice flour pancakes. Yeah, quite tasty. Mm-hmm. That was an unlooked-for pleasant change of pace. I had no idea that the little blue-haired ladies in the Fellowship Hall kitchen could even cook like that. But they never cease to amaze. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to... our 29th day of the month subscribers. And that would be Mona. Thank you, Mona. And thank you, Joseph. And thank you, Cecilia. And thank you, George. George jumped in after the program last night and met Alma's challenge. Thank you very, very kindly. So that finds us with a fundraising goal of $529. to get us to here. That would basically be yesterday, today, and $129 Monday. That's where we are. We finished last week yesterday. So with that, and tomorrow and Friday, we've got a hell of a hill to climb to get us to finish July where we ought to be. And we'll just, you know, we'll just have to play it by ear. But we could pick up 529 this evening and, you know, at least get Monday and Tuesday and today taken care of. That would be a big boost. Oh, where to begin? Where to begin on this prayer meeting Wednesday? Well, seeing as how it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and you know, ooh ee ooh ah ah, ting tang, walla walla, bing bang, and all of that speaking in tongues business. I think one of the first places we need to go is. Well, Nitwit Nero's brand new favorite doctor. Yes, I'm talking about Dr. Stella Emanuel, noted medical practitioner. She's from down Texas way. And she joined up with a group of Lulus, Lalas, Yahoos, and various malpractitioners of medicine to form something that is being called, let me see here. It's being called the America's Frontline Doctors. Now, since the group is called America's Frontline Doctors, and since they are maggots, you may take it as read that these are not frontline doctors. These are people that I would not allow to treat, to put so much as a Band-Aid on anyone I cared about. Tea Party Patriots. Remember them? The baggers of baggers, birchers, booger eaters, etc.? The Tea Party Patriots put this bunch together. And by the way, if you'd like to augment your listening experience for the program this evening, as ever, you are welcome to pop on by headon.live and head for the chat room. Click on chat room, where you will be immediately greeted by early arrivers Jimmy and Silent R. Lamar and Roger and Squeaky. It really does make things a lot more fun. So, help yourself. Now, the baggers, the tea baggers, put together America's Frontline Doctors. Like I said, a gang of quacks. And their purpose in holding the White Coat Summit, frankly, it's more like a White Hood Summit, but, you know, never mind. They appeared on the steps of the Supreme Court. And among other things, it featured Dr. Stella Emanuel and other nut jobs. And Houston physician alleged Dr. Emanuel declared that you can cure COVID-19 with a combination of hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax, which, of course, has been repeatedly proven not to do that. One wonders how many people she has killed. She then was tweeted and retweeted by people like Trader Tot, you know, Nitwit Nero Jr., who got himself suspended from Twitter, put in Twitter jail for 12 whole hours for spreading toxic disinformation about the disease. Among other things, Dr. Stella Emanuel also says that you don't need to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. No masking necessary. Dr. Stella Emanuel has a lot of interesting medical theories. Among them, being that the government of the United States of America, I kind of wonder if she's been on Alex Jones's program yet. The government is at least partially run by reptilians and other alien beings. Yes. And while she claims to have treated successfully hundreds of patients with the deadly poison hydroxychloroquine, there's still no proof that it works. The Food and Drug Administration going so far back last month as to revoke the emergency authorization that allowed its use. Nonetheless, Dr. Emanuel, who thinks the government's run by reptilian space aliens, says nobody needs to get sick. This virus has a cure. Mm-hmm. Hello, she said, you don't need a mask. There is a cure. And even this, if you were to watch the video, even this was too much for the organizers of the White Coat Summit of Frontline Doctors. Because they did everything but bring out the really long hook to yank her off the stage. But Breitbart captured the speech and put it online, and it went viral. It got more views than Plandemic got, and that was the gold standard, the Cadillac gold standard for stupid conspiracy theories about this pandemic. And Turning Point USA, you know, Toilet Paper USA. They jumped all over the video. Paste and Polyester, Diamond and Silk, also known as Mold and Mildew, shared it. But then Facebook and Twitter both pulled the videos. At which point, Stella Emanuel responded that Jesus Christ would take down Facebook servers if her videos weren't put back up. Hello, Facebook, put back my profile page and videos up or your computers will start crashing till you do. You're not bigger than God. I promise you, if my page is not back up, Facebook will be down in Jesus' name. Somebody get a net. And the Texas Medical Board, no kidding, actually licenses this woman and lets her run a medical clinic out of a strip mall that's right next to her church, which is called Firepower Ministries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she posts the sermons that she delivers. She says, for instance, that endometriosis, fibroid cysts, and infertility in women are caused because the women had sex with spirit husbands, which are demons who have sex with people in the other world of their dreams. They are responsible for serious gynecological problems. We call them all kinds of names, endometriosis, we call them molar pregnancies, we call them fibroids, we call them cysts, but most of them are evil deposits from the spirit husband. Demon jizz! Well, there went dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. They're responsible for miscarriages, impotence, men that can't get it up, which I guess would be demon. Don't know. They turn into a woman, these demons do, and then they sleep with the man and collect his sperm. And then they turn them into the man, and they sleep with the man and deposit the sperm and produce more of themselves. And that's where gay people come from? What?
Huh.
My goodness gracious sakes alive, thank heavens for the First Amendment protection of religious freedom in America. Mm-hmm. It was 2015 when she preached about the Illuminati plot that was cooked up by a witch to destroy the entire world using the combined tools of abortion, gay marriage, and children's toys. Yeah. And generational curses, according to this new and favorite doctor of Nitwit Nero, generational curses are transmitted by bad through bad placentas. Oh, where's Dr. Jen Gunther when we need her? They found the gene in somebody's mind that makes you religious so they can vaccinate against it. Because that's what the government's going to do, is the vaccine, they're going to vaccinate you so that you won't believe in demons and imaginary shit anymore.
Oh.
Pokemon is comprised of Eastern demons. Harry Potter, Wizards of Waverly Place, That's So Raven. Those are all designed to get children entranced by the spirit world. And Hannah Montana, featuring Miley Cyrus, was a gateway to evil because the character had an alter ego. And I'm in real trouble, according to Dr. Stella Emanuel, because, you know, from time to time I consult my old busted magic eight ball with the cracked screen that always says answer hazy, ask again later. Oops. She claims that it's psychic. Mm-hmm. There are people that are ruling this nation that are not even human. She made that claim after talking about a conversation she had with a reptilian spirit. Half human, half ET. That was the alien spirit. On the other hand, she is 100% nuts. The United States is under attack by homosexual terrorism. She said that a father who disowned his transgender son was right to withdraw his love. You know the crazy part? This is what she said. The little girl demands he must love her anyhow. Really? You will not get it from me. I'd be like, little girl, when you come back to be a little girl again, but you talk, for now I'm gone. And apparently she decided to work Dobson's corner of the street, because she also said children need to be whipped. You might recall that Dobson, he of Colorado Springs, once said that children need to be beaten until they cry real tears. And remember, Donald Trump retweeted all of this, brethren and sistren. And then he got, let's say, irked when a reporter asked him if he regretted having retweeted her.
A recommendation to the president on it. So we have lots of alternatives.
So do you regret tweeting about that song?
doctor, Mr. President? Do you regret tweeting about that doctor yesterday?
Regret what?
Stella Emanuel, the doctor. Do you wish you had not retweeted that?
I was very impressed with her and other doctors that stood with her. I think she made sense, but I know nothing about it. I just saw her on, you know, making a statement with very respected doctors. She was not alone. She was making a statement about hydroxychloroquine with other doctors that swear by it. They think it's great. But she was not alone. Fake news CNN made it like, oh, I said this, I said that. She was with a whole group of people. And you ought to tell your network, the reason their ratings are so bad is because the coverage is so false. If CNN would be honest, and that goes for MSDNC also, but your network is so dishonest in its coverage on just about everything. And there's an example. I was very impressed by her, know nothing about her. I had never seen her before, but certainly you could put her up and let her have a voice. So what they did is they took down their voice. Now, they seem to never take down the other side. They only take down conservative voices. It's a shame. And with hydroxy, all I want to do is save lives. I don't care if it's hydroxy or anything else. All I want to do is save lives. If we can save lives, that's great.
But never mind the people that hydroxychloroquine has, you know, killed. Yeah, she's a great doctor. The doctor who says that having demon sex causes endometriosis.
I was very impressed with her. I think she made sense.
Woohoo! Yeah. And there's and CNN only gives the one side, and they shut down conservative voices. And it was another busy day on Capitol Hill. Some tech CEOs testified today in front of the House. And you heard Nitwit Nero there complaining about how
they'll only shut down the conservative voices.
Well, the conspiracy voices? I mean, that starts with CON, too. Yeah. So, Steve asks in New York, religion is a virus? Apparently so. Doctor, you say, says Ron in Raleigh. I thought that being a licensed physician was governed by a board to determine fitness. So the Texas Medical Board looks at this quack and says, she's okay with us. Precisely. You know, because you don't want to have any of those job-killing regulations. And, you know, there's some magnificent work done with things like cancer. They're in Houston as well at the MD Anderson Cancer Center. And every real physician at the MD Anderson Cancer Center, I would hope, has their head in their little head in their hands and go, oh, no. No. Oh, this is going to be great. But yes, the Dr. Stella Emanuel, born in Cameroon and trained at a medical school in Nigeria and licensed in Texas, says that endometriosis comes from having sexy time with demons. Our buddy Labor Man says a quack from way back. Thought they are led by Dr. Vinny Boombots. Hadn't heard Vinny referred to in a while. Steve noting Facebook will be down in Jesus' name. Sounds like she's been talking to Opal Covey. It's been a while since we heard of it, yeah. Mayoral candidate for Toledo, Ohio. Remember her? I'm stronger now than ever before because I know it's the will of God, said Opal Covey, Republican. And I'm continuing. We're going to be blessed with wealth in the city of Toledo. We just have to be steadfast and hold our peace and let the Lord fight all the battles. And she said that last time through, a few years back, that if she didn't win the mayoral election, the city of Toledo would be destroyed. Curiously, Toledo is still there. Silent R. Lamar with a note says, I must say we're at a point where all the babies who were dropped on their head from a distance of 4 feet above a very hard surface, more than once. Trump calls people from Africa people from a shithole country. I say, then why is he promoting a doctor from that land? For all the Republicans who want people to go back to work, what are you going to do when there are no more workers due to you killing them all off? And since you don't like non-Americans in your so-called land, please remember this is the land of the immigrant. I know, remembering makes your head hurt. Deal with it. We're a consumer country. We need more money to spend money. So until you work out the problem, just note that we, the new homeless, will make space for you because you need the money to live the life you live, and the money you need comes from us, the poor. Just saying, you Republicans, believe it or not, feeding the beast, guess who's going to get eaten? It's been a long time since I had to pick Republicans from my teeth. It's like eating stringy meat. Something always gets stuck between the teeth, and then you have to wind up flossing and picking it out. Ugh. Thank you, Silent R. James in Illinois. Dr. Crazy Brain. The Don gloms onto any crazy maggot black person who will have him as a friend. It's yin and yang. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. The Don was always only a minor celebrity. He wormed his way into every unimportant media event he could. And the ones that were important, like the Central Park Five, he always chose to blame the accused black perpetrator. Guilt was predetermined. There is a minority population of black folks who are quick to blame the hip-hop crowd and the gay black community. This so-called doctor fits right in. It's about peeling away that group of black voters from whomever the Democratic nominee will be. That's what this is. Donnie's all over it. He didn't quite think it through. But what else is new? And yes, there is a fringe of Looney Tunes, African-American Trump supporters. They do exist. For instance, there's Angela Stanton King. She's the Republican candidate in the Georgia 5th Congressional District race. And what, a couple of weeks ago, she tweeted that God had sent her to run for Congress. And see, she said that because she was getting questions from outfits like the Associated Press about her having tweeted a QAnon video and using a bunch of QAnon hashtags, among other things. She has said, how many of you think this is still about Trump being a racist and not the global elite pedophiles trafficking children? The gloves are off. This isn't about COVID-19 or Black Lives Matter. This is a major cover-up for pedophilia and human trafficking. Remember the scripture in Ecclesiastes, the one that says there's a time for peace and a time for war. Well, this is the war. Save the children and the babies in the womb. She's also virulently against the anti-LGBTQ community. So that group does very, very definitely exist. Flavio noting, you know, it's been a while since we heard of sexy time with demons, like the Middle Ages. An incubus was a male demon that had sex with women, while the succubus was the corresponding female demon. Incidentally, in Italian, a nightmare is un incubo. Directly related to the Latin, because Italian. I know. Billable Rick encouraging me. Be careful not to drink too much Kool-Aid. Look what happened to those people in Guyana. That was Flavor Aid. Check your sources. And this, on the other hand, isn't even Kool-Aid. This is some sort of sugar-free Sunkissed, Welch's, Hawaii Punch, whatever. But it'll do for communion wine in a pinch. Shorty in L.A. Spirit, schmear it. Husband? Spirit, husband, my ass. Yeah, that word, it starts with the letter D and it ain't demon. That word rhymes with Fildo. Yeah, also known in some quarters as Bob. An acronym standing for battery-operated boyfriend. Hey, thanks to Jeremy for getting us going. That takes us down to 524. Thank you, Jeremy, very kindly. Oh, that's so awful, Steve. Not even going to share it. Mooshu chicken. That's just terrible. Bob, stop telling us about distinctions between various types of Kool-Aid. It's not a distinction. There's Kool-Aid, and then there's good old-fashioned off-brand Flavor-Aid. They are not the same thing. And in an effort to get us down below the $500 mark, Ralph's is putting forward a $25 challenge. So if somebody will kick in 25 bucks, Ralph's will double it. And that'll get us down to, $474. Thanks, Ralph's. Thanks very kindly. And Lou picked up on that real quick. Well, that explains, Dr. Stella Emanuel has explained everything now. That explains it. Trump is a reptilian. Space demons, asked Jimmy. So that explains Mary? I don't know. I presume that's Trump's mother. And this. Yes, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and Giraffe has some serious repenting he needs to perform before the congregation on this here prayer meeting Wednesday. Giraffe would like to have the deacons and ushers help him come forward and repent of his terrible sinful behavior this morning upon hearing of the amazing news. I asked Giraffe on the way to the local fundamentalist Christian church where the gun-hoarding whores, homo-hating hypocrites, and womanizing fetus freaks regularly gather, if he would rather just stop by the Catholic church and go into the penalty box, the confessional in the back of the church and perform his penance there. Giraffe angrily answered, "How the hell is a giraffe that stands over 17 feet tall going to fit in one of those confessionals, considering there are some people who can't fit in there anymore? Besides, all the confessionals now are now reserved for all those Republican right-wing Christian congressmen from now until eternity, thanks to the John Boner, Lord knows they'll need it." Oh, and what terrible transgression did Giraffe partake in this morning? Well, when Giraffe heard the news that Louis Forrest Gump, Louis Asparagus Gohmert, had contracted the COVID, he did what any normal political animal would do. He began to celebrate. Then Giraffe said, "Good, now Chairman Nadler can give him a ring." Get it? Give him a ring, i.e. phone call, and tell Louis to get the hell out of Congress and take Jim Jordan with you. Jeffrey was wondering why Jim Shorts Jordan does not wear a suit coat in Congress, and I informed Giraffe that Jordan was using his coat for one of his wrestling-related cover-ups. No, it is an act of civil disobedience. It is an act of activist protest. This is not a joke. Jim Shorts Jordan refuses to wear a jacket because the heathen, huzzy women folk in Congress get to wear pants, but they don't have to wear a jacket. No one's ever going to suggest that that diploma that Jim Shorts Jordan got from The Ohio State University means much, because the fact of the matter is, if he was protesting women wearing pants without jackets in Congress, effectively, that would mean that he, in turn, would show up in a dress. And nobody even wants to think about that, and all the forks have clattered onto all the plates at dinner time in the Horn Family Community Congregation in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. In the Central Time Zone, they may be just going, oh, fuck it. Let's get a bag of Doritos. That's why he doesn't wear a jacket, Giraffe. He's protesting the huzzies. Then Giraffe suddenly inquired of me as to why I was not going to be repenting tonight also, since I was seen celebrating upon learning of Louis' misfortune. Without any hesitation, I informed Giraffe that I was not celebrating loser Louis' bad luck, but rather I was full of joy and mirth because with these developments, this clearly proves that there is a God. Hallelujah, the Lord baby Jesus lives. Yes, there is a God after all. And this has been Joey's Journal for the prayer meeting Wednesday, the 29th day of July, with Giraffe praying for all the Republicans to leave office soon. Hear, hear. And that takes us, of course, to the Louis Asparagus Gohmert story. Oh, and Shorty in L.A. says, no, it's Dr. Bombay. Calling Dr. Bombay, calling Dr. Bombay, emergency, come right away. It's Dr. Bombay, meanwhile, President's is translucent. Don't forget, today is Wall Street Wednesday. Trump had made his market statements. It missed it. Careful, Washington, California, Michigan, Texas, Illinois, and Montana. Sorry. I'll get his full horrible code-talking, assholish market insider trading. The President's is translucent. The worse his hearing gets, the more he uses the noisy backgrounds. And was Trump limping? He's supposed to be limping. Really soon. Yeah, what's that called? An ataxic gait? Ataxia? Sparky reminded me of this a couple of days ago. Ataxia is a degenerative disease of the nervous system. Many symptoms of ataxia mimic those of being drunk, such as slurred speech, stumbling, falling, and incoordination. These symptoms are caused by damage to the cerebellum, the part of the brain that is responsible for coordinating movement. And brought that to my attention based on something that was going around the interweb tubes, showing him walking at an event in North Carolina Monday, where his right leg just sort of swings out to one side. Then again, based on things that we're learning more and more about, he may have just swung that leg out there because he was trying to get a better adjustment on the gathers of his diaper. Megan says, Jim Shorts Jordan, I thought he was protesting the fact that women can wear sleeveless business attire. Geez, I wish these freaks would make up their minds about what's more offensive.
Naked female arms.
It drives naked sleeveless female arms drive Jim Shorts Jordan into paroxysms of sexual frenzy. He becomes like a Vulcan going through the Ponfar. And there's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. And so, Louis Asparagus Gohmert does have the Rona. And, of course, not wanting to waste any time, he has now alleged that he caught the Rona because he wore a mask. But there's a backstory to this as well. I don't know that he was at the rally, but in Tyler, Texas, over the past weekend, a bunch of Gohmert supporters and white supremacists, I mean, those are the same circle in a Venn diagram, frankly, attacked counter-protesters and tried to choke at least one of them out, struck a woman. They were gun-toting maniacs. And then this happens. Wouldn't it be great, Flavio asks, if Screwy Louie took out a couple? because he was arm's length away from Bill Pepe the Frog Barr. And so now Bill Pepe the Frog Barr is having to be tested for the Rona. This is such an awful disease. I am loath to wish it on anyone. But when it happens to people who have done their dead level best to hurt others with disinformation about it, it's hard not to note that maybe the goddess of irony is just, well, taking care of a few things on her list. But yes, as Sparky pointed out, and Steve, Louis Asparagus Gohmert says in an interview with KETK in Texas, "I can't help but wonder if by keeping a mask on and keeping it in place, I might have put some germs, some virus onto the mask and breathed it in." He says he'll self-quarantine for 10 days and predicts by then he will be fairly well immune, even though there is no science to suggest that immunity is conferred by having had the virus. Yeah, let's hear it from the horse's ass's mouth.
The reports of my demise are a great deal premature. Went to the White House today, but before you go in formally to the White House, they test you with the quick test, and it tested positive, but they get false positive sometimes. So they retested me with the swab that goes way up in your sinuses, and it finally came.
Some people would say they feel like the swab goes almost to your brains, but Louis won't say that because there's no brains up there.
Back, it was positive too. So I'm asymptomatic. I don't have any of the symptoms that are listed.
And here's the thing about being asymptomatic. One of the few things that we do know about the Rona is that asymptomatic people spread it much further and wider than symptomatic people do. So yesterday, Louis was larping and smollicking and grabulating all over his maggot colleagues and spewing viral particles and right at the Attorney General of the United States of America. And fortunately, they all sit on one side of the dais and the Democrats sit on the other. So hopefully, no Democrats were infected. Because remember, Gerald Nadler had to repeatedly admonish dickheads like Jim Shorts Jordan to pull on his fucking mask. Mm-hmm.
As part of COVID-19, but apparently I have the Wuhan virus. Rand Paul was...
No, asshole, you have SARS-CoV-19, not the Wuhan virus. Unless, of course, you're prepared to refer to the influenza epidemic of 1918 as the filthy white Kansas pig farmer virus. Or perhaps you'd like to refer to the swine flu outbreak of the last years of the first decade of the 21st century as the America virus. Because it started here.
It was just texting me that the good news is that in 10 days or so, I should be fairly well immune.
Who texted him that? Because that's just bullshit.
Rand Paul was just texting me that...
Oh! Rand Paul! Libertarian ophthalmologist. The self-proclaimed ophthalmologist who declared that children can't get the Rona. Yeah, that Rand Paul.
the good news is that in 10 days or so, I should be fairly well immune. As far as the medium that tweets are sent out that I was admonished yesterday at the judiciary hearing for not wearing a mask, look, I've worn a mask more the last.
Yeah, the admonition did, at least the clip we had, went to Jim Shorts Jordan and some maggot asshole from Arizona, and I forget where the other maggot asshole was from.
Last week or two than I have in the whole last 4 months. And I was wearing my mask at the judiciary hearing, and a couple of the other guys that had just had mentioned earlier today, well, Nadler wasn't fussing at you. You had your mask. It was a couple of the other guys weren't wearing their mask. So that wasn't it, but it is interesting, and I don't know about everybody, but when I have a mask on, I'm moving it to make it comfortable, and I can't help but wonder.
Which proves that he is an idiot, because the CDC has been very clear about the fact that once your mask is on, don't freaking touch it. And if you do touch it, you then have to wash your hands or sanitize all over again. Steve in New York, Congressman Asparagus, I wonder if he'll take the hydroxy. Well, I mean, if Nitwit Nero tells him to. Note from Robert in Australia. Shopping with a mask. I went shopping yesterday. I wore a new mask and new gloves. The only issue I had was that I suddenly realized I had forgotten to brush my teeth that morning. The horror, the horror. P.S. We reopened schools. COVID-19 started breaking out in some, not all schools. Those schools have had to shut down again. Oh, and a note on schools. There were have been a lot of news stories about over the last couple of months about graduating high school seniors who didn't get to have their graduations this year. And it, you know, the playing of Gaudiamus Igitur, pomp and circumstance, whatever. It's a big deal. It's a rite of passage of sorts. But a lot of people did the best that they could to mark the noteworthy day. And now, here, where I live, where we have been luckier than ever so many places. Well, we're not going to be much. We're not going to be lucky for much longer. Here in my little county in West Virginia, we are not as covered up as many other places are, because we are rural and we are remote. But we have 122 cases here in my county. We have 5 dead. And of course, all of this lags because of the tremendous amount of time that has to pass in order to get results here. But we're not going to have any 122 cases for much longer, because the stone cold idiots and the maliciously negligent fools who run our school system, maggots, have decided to have an in-person graduation. It'll take place outdoors this Saturday for the previous graduating class, the class of 2020, for 3 high schools. The local high school here, another one from Meadow Bridge and Fayetteville. It's going to be an in-person graduation. People sitting in the stands of the football field. And students walking across and taking their diploma and shaking hands with the principal and larping and smollicking and grabbing all over each other. potentially spewing virus particles hither, thither, and yon. And in the news story in the Beckley newspaper about all of this, the principal of the high school declared that everybody's welcome to attend, but there's only 540 seats in the bleachers at the football field. So just to make sure, folks might want to bring themselves a folding chair or two so they'll have somewhere to sit and watch the young scholars get the disease. I mean, graduate. I don't know how this is anything but child abuse. Because there's no way that this isn't going to result, there's no way that this isn't going to be a super spreader event. And in fact, using the Georgia Tech COVID-19 event risk assessment planning tool, now, let's see, let's take the number up to 500. That's as close to 540 as we can get. With an ascertainment bias of 10. And click on my county. Any gathering of 500 people has a 98% chance of the virus spreading in that group. I wonder if anybody has told the geniuses at the Board of Education about this tool. All right, let's change the ascertainment bias to 5. That changes it to an 87% likelihood that the virus will be spread within any given event. 87% or 98%, I would not want on my conscience, for the sake of symbolism. Nothing but symbolism. We are not doing this very well. And by the way, David in South Carolina Stan says, I got two cuts for the album, Demon Sex Party and Alien Seduction Blues. Actually, three if you count the title cut, Hydroxychloroquine Blues. Oh, that's gonna be a big hit, David. Big, real big. I live not quite 10 miles from that school. And that school serves this community. And if you put 500 people in there with a probability of the virus spreading at 98%. Well, they may as well have guns and be shooting at the people who are trying to defend themselves. You know, one of the things that Agnes and I have done a lot of since this whole thing broke is we have increased our daily I love yous exponentially. And I suspect a whole lot of other people have as well. So that if anything does happen, that there will be no doubt. Well, I tell her things like, no matter every whatever, of all the stuff that we've been through, I try to tell her every day, I would do it all over again. Because love is really the only legacy any of us have. And this being prayer meeting Wednesday, what is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Have faith, hope, and love. And of these three things, the greatest is love. And if I have not love, I am as sounding brass. Apparently they didn't like the sound of brass. And again, thanks to Dave number 11 for providing me with the link to that tool. Mike in Cascadia wanted to know what that tool is. It is by Georgia Tech. It is called the COVID-19 Event Risk Assessment Planning Tool. And this is a lengthy URL. COVID-19 risk.biosci, BIOSCI, COVID-19 risk.biosci.gatech.edu, COVID-19 risk.biosci.gatech.edu. And there are different functionalities for it. I was just using the risk estimates by county. As to Louis Asparagus Gohmert having it, Stephen New York points out, I may not wish it on anyone. However, I'm not going to shed too many tears if a denier gets it. And, of course, there's an aspect of there but for the grace of God goes John Smith. But this isn't really a grace of God thing. This is a matter of doing everything you possibly can to avoid it. Frightful. Frightful. But now the Board of Education and the principal of the local high school have decided we've had it too fucking easy here. And what we need is a super spreader event. And that's Saturday. And I don't know how to do any more than we're already doing to protect us. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. New Zealand won't have us. As James in Illinois points out, if you're trying to murder 1,000 people, go with the name brand. If only he'd splurged for the good stuff, he may have been able to clean up that mess up and they would all just be mystery unsolved. Whatever happened to the People's Temple, Jim Jones, Leo Ryan, and Jackie Spear? Who's Jackie Spear? Flavor Aid. Jim Jones went with Flavor Aid, not Kool-Aid. Flavio says, this is why I do wish it on people like Gohmert. From ABC News, following his positive diagnosis, the representative returned to his Capitol Hill office to inform his staff. He was wearing a face covering when he delivered the message. Republican sources on Capitol Hill told ABC News that Gohmert's full staff has been in the office in recent days, and that at times staffers in his office were chastised. for wearing masks. There's even greater detail. Apparently, the staff is, well, they've been abused by Louie Gohmert. Jake Sherman of Politico reached out to Gohmert's office after the news broke of Representative Asparagus testing positive for the Rona. Man, and you know, I'm talking about this event up at the high school, this graduation. Corona Caligula must be absolutely scared shitless. Because the only reason Gohmert got tested was because he was about to be in the presence of his maggoty magnificence. You have to be tested to get close to... So, Corona Caligula must feel like everybody coming near him has a gun. I mean, for God's sakes, his national security advisor was diagnosed with it. Well, Jake Sherman at Politico contacted Gohmert's office and having contacted them, he immediately received a note from a member of Gohmert's staff saying, "Jake, thank you for letting our office know Louie tested positive for the coronavirus. When you write your story, can you include the fact that Louie requires full staff to be in the office, including 3 interns, so that we could be an example to America on how to open up safely? When probing the office, you might want to ask how often people were berated for wearing masks." And then this from ABC News. "Just want to emphasize, Representative Gohmert returned to his Capitol Hill office and told staff he wanted to inform them in person instead of finding out from news reports. Some staffers were already in the process of leaving as Gohmert came back, I'm told." He should never have gone back to his office, but he does not give a good goddamn. I guess because he thinks that precious fake baby Jesus will keep him from getting the bad kind. Because, you know, only those people get it really bad. And yes, Barr is now being tested because they were LARPing and smolicking on each other. And the thing is, it goes far beyond Gohmert's office, this kind of reckless behavior. Jake Sherman tweeting that ever since his post came out in the Playbook is the name of the vehicle. Ever since PM came out, I've got a flood of emails from Republican staffers who say they too are being forced to come to the Hill without a mask now. If you're one of those people, email me or DM me. I have said it time and time again. I will say it now, once again. These are bioterrorists. If a 6-foot-tall, skinny Saudi was walking around without a mask, breathing and smolicking and LARPing all over people, we would have probably bombed and killed a million or so people in the Middle East by now. But as Pramila Jayapal pointed out yesterday, the maggots respond entirely differently to domestic terrorists, especially domestic right-wing terrorists, as compared with everybody else. And so after having been admonished yesterday by Gerald Nadler, Jim Shorts Jordan showed up in the tech hearing today in the House. Where he tried to overtalk David Cicilline, the chairman of the committee.
Hey, big tech's out to get conservatives. That's not a suspicion. That's not a hunch. That's a fact. July 20th, 2020.
No, big tech is not out to get conservatives. It just so happens that conservatives spread conspiracies about the same way that they spread viruses.
Google removes the homepages of Breitbart and the Daily Caller. Just last night, we learned Google has censored Breitbart so much traffic has declined 99%. June 16th, 2020. Google threatens to demonetize and ban the Federalists. April 19th, 2020, Google and YouTube announce a policy censoring the content that conflicts with recommendations of the World Health Organization. Now think about that. The World Health Organization, the organization that lied to us, the organization that shielded for China. And if you contradict something they say...
Yeah, all of which is bullshit, lies, complete and utter nonsense.
They can say whatever they want. They can lie for China. They can shill for China. You say something against them, you get censored. June 29th, 2020, Amazon bans President Trump's account on Twitch after he raises concerns about defunding the police. June 4th, 2020, Amazon bans a book critical of the coronavirus lockdowns written by a conservative commentator. May 27th, 2020, Amazon Smile won't let you give to the Family Research Council and the Alliance Defense Fund, but you can give to Planned Parenthood. Facebook, June 19th, 2020, takes down post from President Trump's reelection campaign. November 1st, 2018, Facebook silences a pro-life organization's advertisement. May 19th, 2016, former Facebook employees admit Facebook routinely suppresses conservative views. And I haven't even mentioned Twitter, who we actually invited. Mr. Chairman, we asked for you guys to invite him as one of our witnesses. You guys said, no, I haven't even mentioned them. 2 years ago, they shadow banned two members of this committee.
Shadow banned.
Four members of Congress were shadow banned 2 years ago. 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate, 535, only four. Only four. Gates, Meadows, Nunes, Jordan, only four get shadow banned. And, of course, what did Mr. Dorsey tell us? He said, oh, it was just a glitch in our algorithm. I asked him, what'd you put in the algorithm? The names Gates, Meadows, Nunes, Jordan? I mean, if I had a nickel for every time I heard it was just a glitch, I wouldn't be as wealthy as our witnesses, but I'd be doing all right. We've heard that excuse time and time again. May 28th, Twitter censors President Trump's tweet on the riots in Minneapolis. May 29th, 2020, Twitter censors the White House for quoting the president's comments.
And, you know, there's nothing illegal in anything he says, even assuming it's true. It's a private platform. It's not the government. There are no First Amendment rights attaching to fucking Twitter. And suffice to say that the entire time that he's running off at the mouth like this, he's running off at the mouth like this without a mask on. And, okay, let's assume for a moment that a mask makes it a little harder to hear somebody. As you can tell from the quality of the audio, he's speaking into a microphone. So he could have a mask on and be heard perfectly well. You got to wonder, does a surgeon, let's say, performing a heart transplant, lung transplant, liver transplant, kidney transplant, does the surgeon pull his mask down or her mask down every time the surgeon says scalpel and put the mask back up, pull the mask back down and say clamp, put the mask back up, Pull the mask back down. Sponge. Put the mask back up. No! Because you can hear perfectly well. And in the case of the surgeon, there's all kinds of things going beep and ping. And ksh, ksh, ksh. And somehow or another, the surgeon manages to be heard. Odd, isn't it?
It's about the riots in Minneapolis. June 23rd, 2020, Twitter censors the president again for saying he'll enforce the rule of law against any autonomous zone in Washington, D.C. You can tweet all you want about the autonomous zone that happened in Seattle, but the president tweets that he's not going to have one in Washington, D.C. Nope, can't do that. You get banned, you get censored. Dozens of examples. Oh, I forgot one. Just last week, July 21st, here's what Twitter did. The leader of Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, this is from the largest state sponsor of terrorism. Twitter allows this tweet, quote, "The Islamic Republic of Iran will never forget the martyrdom of Soleimani and will definitely strike a reciprocal blow in the United States." So you can threaten the citizens of this great country, the leader of the largest state sponsor of terrorism, that's just fine. But, oh, the president says he's not going to allow some autonomous zone in D.C., and he gets censored.
Now, Jim Shorts Jordan, being an evangelical Christian, I'm sure, is a liar. He didn't get censored. He got a false tweet pulled.
All kinds of examples, most of them from this year, and that's what's I think critical for us all to understand. Most of them from this year, an election year. And that's what concerns me and so many Americans. Because we saw what Google did in 2016. We all know about the email the day after the election where top executives at Google email chain where they talked about the silent donation Google made to the Clinton campaign. Now, thank goodness it wasn't enough. And in spite of their efforts to help Clinton, President Trump won. But we're 97 days before an election, and the power, as the previous chairman and ranking member have said, the power these companies have to impact what happens during an election, what American citizens get to see prior to their voting, is pretty darn important. That's why this committee hearing is important. Look, we all think the free market's great. We think competition's great. We love the fact that these are American companies. But what's not great is censoring people, censoring conservatives, and trying to impact elections. And if it doesn't end, there has to be consequences. There have to be consequences. That's what I'm concerned about, and I think what so many Americans are concerned about. So I look forward to hearing from our witnesses, Mr. Chairman. And before I yield back, Mr. Chairman, we have a colleague. I would ask unanimous consent that Mr. Johnson, the ranking member of the Constitution Subcommittee, be allowed to participate in today's hearing, which is our customary practice for subcommittee hearings.
The gentleman makes a unanimous consent request.
Mr. Chairman, I would object.
Objection is heard. And now have the pleasure
Mr. Chairman,
of introducing today's witnesses.
Why are we not allowing? It is customary.
Mr. Jordan, there was a unanimous consent request. Objection was heard. And now we'll introduce our witness.
This has never happened.
It is now my pleasure to.
Wow. So, adding to the list of things that Jim Shorts Jordan doesn't know, he doesn't know how unanimous consent requests work, even though he has done, very likely, the very same damned thing. Because he wanted to have a maggot testify in this tech hearing when the maggot had no subject matter expertise.
Today's witnesses. Our first witness is Jeff Bezos, the chief executive officer. Mr. Jordan, I have the time.
But this is the ranking
our first
member of the
witness.
We're talking about people's liberties here. We have
Mr.
the ranking
Jordan,
member.
You made a unanimous consent request. Objection was heard. Those are our rules.
Objection was.
It is now my pleasure to introduce today's witnesses.
By the Mr.
Our first witness
professor.
Is Jeff Bezos, the chief executive officer
on.
Of Amazon.com. Mr. Bezos founded Amazon in 19... 19- Excuse me. I'm going to remind members of this committee, unless you are speaking, our rules require you to wear a mask according to the attending physician. No, I'm.
And dipshit Jim Jordan makes a point of putting his mask on and making sure that it does not cover his nose so he can continue to spew the viral particles that he likely picked up yesterday from Louis Asparagus Gohmert, because he is a bioterrorist. Period.
I'm speaking about another member of this committee. I'll begin again. It is now my pleasure to introduce today's witness.
And therein, Jim Shorts Jordan gets told to fuck off. Yeah. Going back to Nitwit Nero dragging his leg, his right leg, one person pointed out he's been dragging it for weeks and wondered if it had something to do with the mysterious trip to Walter Reed back on, what was that, November 16th, at the same time that the Trump administration was told about the virus getting out of control in Wuhan. Not saying, just saying. Yeah, Jim Shorts Jordan had a big day there in the tech hearing. And eventually, other members of the committee began having, let's say, fun at his expense.
Jordan for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Pichai, is Google going to tailor its features to help Joe Biden in the 2020 election?
Congressman, we approach our work, we support both campaigns today. We think political ads is an important part of free speech in democratic societies, and we engage with campaigns, according to law, and we approach our work in a nonpartisan way.
It was a yes or no question. Can you assure Americans today you won't tailor your features to help Joe Biden in the upcoming election?
We support work that campaigns do. I just want to make sure I
understand that. We all do all kinds of online social media, all kinds of that kind of that outreach, that communication. This is a simple question. Can you today assure Americans you will not tailor your features in any way to help, specifically help one candidate over other? And this what I'm concerned about is you helping Joe Biden over President Trump.
We won't do any work, to politically tilt anything one way or the other. It's against our core values.
But you did it in 2016. There's an email in 2016.
If anybody benefited from online shenanigans in 2016, I think we can all agree that it was Nitwit Nero.
2016, that was widely circulated amongst the executives at your company that got public, where Ms. Ileana Murillo, head of your multicultural marketing, talks about the silent donation Google made to the Clinton campaign, and you applauded her work. She points that out in the email. I'm just curious, if you did it in 16, I want to make, in spite of the fact you did it in 16, President Trump won, I just want to make sure you're not going to do it again in 2020.
Congressman, I recall our conversation at that time, and I appreciate your concern. We didn't find any evidence of such activity, and I took the opportunity after our conversation to reinforce to the company. We realized even an appearance could be improper, so we have clearly communicated to our employees any personal political activity, while that's their right, needs to happen on their own time and resources and should avoid any use of company.
Of course, everyone's got their First Amendment rights to campaign for who they want. What they can't do is configure your features to help one candidate over the other. So you might have not have found any evidence, but here's what she wrote to the email to a number of key executives in your company. Quote, we push to get out the Latino vote with our features. Second quote, we push to get out the Latino vote with our features in key states.
Wait. Trying to get out the Latino vote? I think he just admitted that Latinos largely despise Donald Trump. He just admitted that trying to get the Latino vote out is getting voters out who are not going to support Donald Trump. Because he said that there was an email that said that they specifically tailored their features to help Hillary Clinton, and yet that's not what the email says. It says they tried to get the Latino vote out. Now, presumably, and we know it as a fact, there are, for reasons known but to God and the Flying Spaghetti Monster and whatnot, there are Latino people who support Trump. So they were trying to get that vote out, too. Huh. Be darned.
Seems to me those last three words are the real qualifier here. That's electioneering. When you're trying to increase the Latino vote in key states, and she'd already communicated that she was supporting Clinton, that she wanted Clinton to win. So when she talks about increasing the Latino vote, which she assumed was going to help.
Yeah, see, there's nothing in the email about what she assumes. It's funny. You can do things in a hearing in Congress that you could never get away with in a courtroom. This isn't questioning. This is testimony. And this isn't fact-based. This is speculation. But hey, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. Right? Right. Because as Lee in New York points out, subject line, Jim Jordan, false equals true. If a Democrat speaks the truth, it is equal to a Republican speaking a lie. How can a Republican be punished for lying if you do not punish a Democrat for being factual? To Jordan, lie equals truth. Maybe that's why he missed the abuse of students. He thinks a lie is a lie because that's what he thinks it is. Facts be damned. Right. And you know, some young wrestler getting raped, well, that's got to be a lie. Because Jim Shorts Jordan just really didn't mind. Steve in New York says, Jim Shorts, whatever happened to no regulations? Well, again, for thee, but not for he. See how that works? Sure. Is it just me, Megan asks? Or does it seem like they're really laying the groundwork to make sure that if Biden and the Democrats win in 2020, they can claim fraud by way of social media? It's not just that. They're going to claim fraud on every front. And as pointed out, a week or two ago, they will use that as a means to try to keep the vote from being certified in the several states. Oh, and back to 1 Corinthian. Larry in Liberalville says, everybody knows you need 2 Corinthians to have love. Okay. A guest on MSNBC, Larry points out, noted that our ancestors lived through the Great Depression and World War II, multi-year events. We should be able to control our independent streak for enough months to have a complete shutdown and restart. And bless their hearts for finally coming around to that, because, you know, I was arguing that in, what, March? Yeah. Logic, says David in South Carolina, Stan, that Biden question was like the cliche, are you still beating your wife? Or when did you stop beating your wife? Precisely because it's unanswerable. There's no good answer to it. It is what has been referred to in the past as a gotcha question. Jesus, these people.
Candidate Clinton And she's doing that in key states. It's one thing if you're going to increase the Latino vote around the country. If you're just a good corporate citizen, you're urging people to vote. It's quite another when you're focusing on in key states. And you know what those key states were? Nevada and Florida, the swing states.
Is it possible? Check me here. Is it possible that you might want to increase Latino participation in voting in key states so that in those key states, a key voice could have its fair amount of influence? Because that sure does seem possible to me.
So again, I want to make sure this isn't going to happen in 2020.
I can assure you that we complied with laws in 2016. As a company, any work we do around elections is nonpartisan. Users do come to us for understanding where polling places are, where to vote, which is the day to vote, what the voting hours are. We are committed to providing that information, and I can assure you that we will approach our work.
So Mr. Pichai, here's the question I think is on so many Americans' minds. They saw the list that we read here earlier on in our opening.
And by so many Americans, he means maggots who never watch anything but Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or ONAN, the network that spills its news upon the ground.
Statements, all the things Google has done. Google is siding with the World Health Organization over anyone who disagrees with them, even though the World Health Organization obviously lied to America, obviously shills for China.
Both of which are untrue.
Google's siding with them. YouTube is siding with them. We have the history of all the things Google has done and the history of what happened in 2016 in the election where they obviously, according to one of the, your multicultural marketing executives.
Man, this reboot of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington really blows.
Tried to help Clinton, and here we are 97 days before the election, and we want to make sure it's not going to happen again. We want to make, can you give us two assurances? One, you're not going to try to tailor your features, configure your platform in a way to help Joe Biden, and second, that you're not going to use your search engine to silence conservatives. Can you give us those two assurances today?
Congressman, on our search engine, conservatives have more access to information than ever before.
And we appreciate that. That wasn't the question. Can you assure us today you're not going to try to silence conservatives? And can you assure us today you're not going to try to configure your features as Ms. Murillo said you did for Clinton in 16? Can you assure us today you're not going to do the same thing?
Of course, she didn't say that. I know I'm reiterating, but she didn't say that. And when he says silence conservative voices on your search engine, What he means is he doesn't like it when people like Stella Emanuel get her goofy-ass videos talking about the demon sex causing endometriosis pulled. That's what that means.
Thing for Joe Biden in 2020.
You have my...
You're just crazy. I would not blame him one iota if he was to say that.
Commitment, it's always been true, and we'll continue to conduct ourselves in a neutral way.
Appreciate it. Yield back.
Here, it gets fun for a couple of minutes.
The chair now recognizes the gentlelady from Pennsylvania, Ms. Scanlon.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'd like to redirect your attention to antitrust law rather than fringe conspiracy theories. Mr. Bezos, our investigation...
Mr. Chairman, we have the...
He won't shut up. Oh, God, where's Rand Paul's neighbor when you need him?
There is no fringe.
Excuse me, it's not your time.
Mr. Jordan, you do not have the time. Please be respectful
but
of your colleague.
Someone directly controls the time.
Put your mask on. Put your mask on.
Mr. Jordan.
Mr. Raskin.
Mr. Jordan.
I want to talk about masks.
Mr. Jordan, Ms. Scanlon.
Why would the Deputy Secretary of Treasury unmask Michael Flynn's name, Mr. Raskin?
Another thing that didn't happen. Michael Flynn's name was not unmasked. Michael Flynn was actively engaged in a conspiracy with a foreign power whom we were surveilling. The only person who unmasked Michael Flynn was Michael Flynn. Well, you know, if you go to the circus, you're going to see monkeys. Sea monkeys.
And what I want to know is, when someone comes after my motives for asking questions, I get...
The sergeant-at-arms will remove the member from Ohio from this hearing room. It's really that easy.
Get a chance to respond.
The gentlelady is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bezos, our investigation uncovered documents that show that Amazon sometimes doesn't play fairly, crossing the line from robust competition to predatory pricing to destroy rivals rather than outcompete them. And let's take the example of Quidsi, which used to own diapers.com and provided online baby.
Yep. And so that little moment of circus fun came to an end. Let's focus on facts rather than on fringe online conspiracy theories. Because, see, the thing is, you could try to explain why that's a conspiracy theory to Jim Shorts Jordan, but Jim Shorts Jordan has no interest in facts or truth. Because Jim Shorts Jordan has all the mental acuity of a freshly hatched gosling. Ron in Raleigh says, let me get this straight. Jim Shorts seems to believe that if execs give a donation to a candidate, it means they're using their platform to undermine the other candidate. Jim Shorts is one annoying motherfucker. Exactly. And you don't remove him for having stupid ideas. You remove him for absolutely being unwilling to adhere to the agreed upon rules of the committee and of the Congress itself. One of which involves mask wearing, which involves wearing the mask all the way over your nose. But he won't do that. James in Illinois, help Clinton, fucking sore winner. Yeah, James, but the thing is, like Nebuchadnezzar before him, he is seeing the moving finger right upon the wall. What is it? Tekel, tekel, meni ufarsin? Jeremy in Vermont points out, Jim Shorts seems very concerned that Google or social media, which are independent media companies, will help Joe Biden, but hasn't once asked if they wouldn't help Trump. What a fuckwad. Well, he doesn't dare ask that question because then the information comes out and we know how much online skullduggery there was in 2016. From which Nitwit Nero benefited profoundly. Jack in Shreveport says, Jim Shorts seems like an email that mentions reaching more Latinos with their product would be a very likely topic that a director of multicultural marketing would talk about. Oh, but in Jim Shorts Jordan's conspiracy world, that's proof of an anti-Trump bias. Because like I said, he was admitting that the vast majority of Latinos hate Donald Trump's guts. And so here we are at the halfway point of the program. Ralph still has a $25 challenge on the table. I can't send the deacons around because they've been sedentary for so long that they're barely mobile. But it would be great if we could meet that and at least get below the $400 mark as we move toward the end of the month and the end of the week. And, of course, racism is the stock in trade of the maggots, and particularly Donald Trump. There was a Facebook Live tele-rally last night. You probably missed it, lucky you. In it, COVID Caligula tried to stoke himself a nice white, and I do mean white hot, case of white anxiety with a list of theys. They want to end school choice. And this was aimed at Iowa. They want to end school choice. They want to abolish charter schools. It's ridiculous. They want to abolish and really hurt the suburbs because under their plan, that's very much agreed to by them. They want to make it worse. Then this. They don't mind if low-income housing is built in a neighborhood in a beautiful suburb of Iowa. Really? Iowa has suburbs? What, Nebraska?
but a beautiful suburb anywhere in the country. They went low, and this has been going on for years. Obama made it much worse, and now they want Cory Booker to run that program, Cory Booker of New Jersey, to run that program and make it many times worse than it is right now. People have gone to the suburbs. They want the beautiful homes. They don't have to have a low-income housing development built in their community, which is going to reduce, which has reduced the prices of their homes and also increased crime substantially.
White people, they're gonna build projects in your beautiful, beautiful suburban neighborhoods.
Pure stone cold racism. And of course, here's the thing. No, Barack Obama did not go on a wild tear of building low-income housing, because we still have a homeless problem in this country. Remember, homelessness is a choice. In a country like ours, where you're not dealing with something like famine, homelessness and hunger are choices. And we did not choose to end homelessness in the 8 years that Barack Obama was president, and the six of which the Congress was controlled by people like Jim Shorts Jordan. God, these are some evil fuckers. So, thanks to Colin, we are now down to $464 to go. Thank you, Colin. Thank you very kindly. Colin met Ralph's challenge and kicked another 10 on top of it. Thank you. So, that'll take us down to $464. And, you know, if we knock out that other $64, then, hey, we're done with last Monday. There is so much of this insanity to deal with on a prayer meeting Wednesday, but I would be remiss if I did not bring out or introduce Maggot Christian Eric Metaxas, who put digits to keyboard and typed out the following. He wrote The Christian Case for Trump as an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal back in January. This is what he wrote in January. For those of us alive to this strange moment in history, arguments that this president's inchoate moral failings somehow, this is back when, say, the Red Dawn team and the White House and the Pentagon knew that the coronavirus, COVID-19, was out of control in China and that it was coming here and it was going to wreak havoc. We've crossed 150,000 dead now. But, of course, Nitwit Nero wasn't interested. So in January, he wrote, for those of us, all he was worried about was the fact that people kept criticizing Trump. For being a purchaser of sex and an abuser of women and a liar and an adulterer and a fornicator, pretty much going after all 10 of the 10 commandments. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that there is another God before old that great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, Yahweh. Donald Trump puts another God in front of him, and that would be Mammon. I mean, we could go through honor his father and his mother. Well, he abused his sociopathic old father in his Alzheimer's dotage so he could get more Mammon money. So there's that. There's thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, Central Park 5. Thou shalt not kill. Well, there's 150,000 counts of that so far. Not to mention the little children that died in cages. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, whether you call that Saturday or Sunday. Well, he's golfing. So, yeah. Back in January, Eric Metaxas didn't understand why people would wonder why Christians would support this most unchristian president. For those of us alive to this strange moment in history, arguments that this president's inchoate moral failings somehow require his removal from office seem not only disproportionate but preposterous. Because we're also talking here about impeachment. Selling out your country and trying to shake down another country in support of your political campaign is not an inchoate moral failing. It's an impeachable offense. Since most evangelicals concur with Abraham Lincoln in seeing America as the last best hope of earth, it should hardly be discomforting or shocking that they would rally behind a president with the fortitude to defend that vision of America. Fortitude. So then, he walked by some dude wearing a hard hat and in New York City and took a picture.
Walking in front of Trump Tower here in Manhattan, I spotted this man in a hard hat holding up these signs. There are many in Democrat-controlled cities that feel just as he does. My wife and I are just two of them.
The signs this maggot is holding up read, Trump plus PLS, Trump plus send troops to NYC. And then the other sign says, send help SOS NYC. And so that was stupid enough. That was July the 23rd. 4 days later, this past Monday, Eric Metaxas, and I'm pretty sure Metaxas is not a Cherokee or Shawnee or Cheyenne or Arapaho or Apache name. Pretty sure it's not Muskogee or Choctaw or Chickasaw either. But just the same, Eric Metaxas, friend of Jesus, tweeted this, because prayer meeting Wednesday.
Jesus was white. Whoop! Jesus was white. Did he have white privilege even though he was entirely without sin? Is the United Methodist Church covering that? I think it could be important.
Because he got all butt hurt because the United Methodist Church has brought in Robin DiAngelo to create a series of videos for the United Methodist Church called Deconstructing White Privilege. Nothing gets white-privileged white preachers more wrought than pointing out the fact that they indeed have white privilege. Jesus was white. Man, it takes a serious level of stupid to tweet that. First, we can start with the fact that Jesus was, as noted frequently on this program, if he existed at all, he was a brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life. There were not any white people in the Middle East. White people was an unknown concept back then. Now, granted, the Greeks and the Gauls would fairly shit themselves at the mention that there, or the Greeks and the Romans would fairly shit themselves at the notion that there was a Gaul within, you know, 500 stadia of the border.
and no small number of bloodthirsty, wealth-seeking Greeks and Romans used that precise excuse as a reason to go to war against said Gauls. In Anatolia, the area once known, or perhaps still known, as Galicia, is so known because a group of Gauls who came down into Greece were settled there. But throughout what we know as the Middle East, which was Syria, Palestina, there were no white people. In fact, if you get right down to it, and, well, there's not a single white person in the Bible. Not one. There are oblique references to Nero, who was, I guess we would recognize him as white, fair-complected. But I don't know that he's even mentioned by name. From A is for Adam all the way to the last page, the last word of the last book in the New Testament, there is not a single white person. They're all pretty much brown, with the occasional mention of black people. You know, there's that whole Egypt business. Jesus was white. Man, see, this could as easily have been Titanic Tuesday or More in Monday. Flavio, knower of words, Metaxas is Greek for silk, and provides me the Greek minuscule script. Metaxas, yep. I can sometimes sound out Greek. I know only, Flavio says, I know only because I like the liqueur Metaxa. I don't think I've ever even tasted that, Flavio. What's it taste like? And if you say silk, I'm going to be very upset, because I don't know what silk tastes like either. Jeremy in Vermont pointing out, Jesus is white. Well, yeah, sure, Bob. So is Santa. Just ask Megyn Kelly. Steve in New York says, oh, yeah, are you saying God himself weren't white? I am. Even though, I know it was a hell of a punishment. What was it? Noah's son Ham, according to the racists of the 19th century, you know, Southerners and whatnot, the whole reason chattel slavery was okay was because God turned Noah's son Ham black and sent him to the land of Nod for having seen his daddy Noah with his dong dangling. Seems a bit extreme, don't you think? Thank you very kindly to an anonymous member of our community. We have just taken fundraising down to $449. Thank you very kindly. Steve in New York says, I'll bet you didn't know Frederick Douglass was also white. Oh, of course he was. And curiously, there weren't even any white people on the entire planet till about 7,000 years ago. Jeremy pointing out Mary Trump's book. In Mary Trump's book, she made it crystal clear that Donald, once his dad was dead and cold, tried to submit a rewritten will that made Donald the one person who would handle all the foundation's money, effectively cutting his siblings out of it, had it been allowed. Mm-hmm.
And yes, as a reminder, Flavio points out, the Wall Street Journal is a Murdoch publication. Yep. And it's a cesspit. Thank you, Bob, says Jimmy. Thank you, Bob. I knew all the time. Now I can get some sleep. What a friend we have in white Jesus. Yeah, Lee in New York pointing out, Ham, son of Noah. I guess Ham was the other white person in the Bible. The other white meat. See, no wonder. No wonder Jews can't have ham. Maybe that's in the rules. Jeremy says, Noah's son, Ham. Well, clearly Ham was more pink, salty, and sweaty than brown. Maybe he was more of an... I don't know. Would that make him more of a prosciutto? Or maybe an Iberico? Hard to know, all those years ago. Yeah. So, does Megyn Kelly go to his church? That would answer a lot of questions, wouldn't it? Oh, wait. Okay. Cowbell for Randy and PA. Ham was uncured. We got to get our giggles where we can. Oh, and as to the 150,000 dead that I mentioned a little bit ago, Lee in New York points out, don't forget the four-letter word that Trump puts in front of that number. Only. Trump will say that it is
only 150,000 out of 330 million who have not died of COVID-19. Remember, the people who brought COVID here were from other countries. The fake news will not talk about it will not talk about the people who did not die. Why? They do not want me to get the credit for being the great president with the biggest brain. Confirmed by test.
Jesus. Still not white. So there was, in the Mary Scanlon portion after she put that sick burn on Jim Shorts Jordan, she continued to ask Jeff Bezos about predatory practices at Amazon and used a diaper company as an example thereof. And sadly, I do not have the rest of that clip. And that's when that's why I stopped it where I did. That's where the clip ran out. But Darlene in Connecticut has a good point to make in reference to that, the continuation of that exchange. It might be enlightening if you played the exchange between Scanlon and Bezos about diapers.com. I know the Horn listening audience is predominantly male. It isn't necessarily. But diaper need among low-income families is a massive problem and becomes a food insecurity issue as mothers will forego food to buy diapers that are not allowable expenses under SNAP or WIC. And why they are not is beyond me. I mean, babies have to have diapers as an end result of proper nutrition.
and nutrition is the N in SNAP. And the I in WIC is infants who require diapers. You know, we are not 15th century England in which babies were swaddled and hung up on a peg and just allowed to shit and piss themselves until it was time to find a new swaddling cloth. I mean, that happened. Literally hung them up on a wall. Let them drip into a bucket. God damn. The exchange, Darlene says, illustrates the unbelievably predatory and destructive nature of Amazon. There was also another exchange between a congresswoman and Bezos concerning a female seller getting screwed by Amazon. It might have been Representative Lucy McBath. In any case, it was not lost on me that all the witnesses today of these top digital and software companies were all male. Not one woman. The glass ceiling remains pretty airtight. But at least a gay man and a brown man were among the witnesses. Oh, yeah, and a white dude that likes to expose himself with dick pics and could become the world's first trillionaire, but I digress. That would be Jeff Bezos. Granted, they weren't there for food reasons, but unless we gain super majorities across the board in November, nothing is going to happen to these massive monopolies, just say it. No, they're not, and it's the risk of what? At some sort of risk. I will point out that at one point in time, if this hearing had happened a few years back, maybe they would have invited Carly Fiorina, who has since become an ever-Trump Republican, but back in the day was as awful a Republican as the party had to offer. And she did reach the stratospheric heights of running Hewlett Packard, she ran into the ground. But it is not lost on me the maleness of the corporate governance. And whether it's Bezos or Bill Gates, there's nothing quite like having parents who start you out with a boatload of money when it comes to getting filthy fucking rich. But oh no, I understand. Believe you me, we raised four children, and there were times when money was scarce, and the choice between food or diapers was answered diapers. You know, I at least had the ability, and after a while we got pretty good at this, this was at a time when I lived 45 minutes from the nearest store. We did. And so it got to the point where I simply would not let don't even bother to call home and say, you know, do we need diapers? You always need diapers when you've got little kids. So you just pick up a package where you can, when you can. It is a brutality of this country that we do not include diapers in what we do to support low-income parents. But then again, this is a country that still taxes feminine hygiene products, so we still got work to do. And as far as supermajorities in both houses, I give them credit where it's due. The Lincoln Project and other and never Trump groups are calling out not just Trump, but in particularly fierce fashion, calling out members of the Senate and the House, maggots, and saying, never trust them again. There we go. Jeff Bezos can't remember his great diaper chase in congressional testimony, serving as the Horn ad hoc research department. Ralph sent this along. Bezos was presented by Representative Lucy McBath with an audio clip from a merchant who said she'd been deplatformed by the retail giant. Bezos said he was surprised to hear the audio. Many sellers on Amazon have complained about low search rankings of their products and their products being counterfeited by third-party sellers. Representative Ken Buck detailed the story of PopSockets and its battle against counterfeiting on Amazon. And the company that that was referred to in the previous clip, Quidsi, well, they were forced to sell out diapers.com to Amazon. And in 2017, as Representative Mary Gay Scanlon pointed out, having acquired diapers.com, Amazon just shut it down. But Jeff Bezos couldn't remember it. Even though Amazon ate quarterly losses of up to $200 million a quarter by lowering prices to the point that diapers.com could not compete. And he had the nerve to look at Representative Scanlon and say, the consumer is the one making the decisions. Because Mary Gay Scanlon had asked, isn't it an inherent conflict of interest for Amazon to produce and sell products that compete directly with third-party sellers, particularly when you, Amazon, set the rules of the game? Now, that was Representative David Ciccolini. It was, Bezos had a tough day. And the Democrats were far harder on him than Jim Jordan, with his wild-ass conspiracy theories, ever dreamed of being on the Google guy. Bioterrorists, I mentioned that a few minutes ago. Bioterrorists. Enter Vance Ginn. Never heard of him before, have you? Well, Texans may have. Because he's the chief economist for the Texas Public Policy Foundation. And the Texas Public Policy Foundation is, of course, a wingnut welfare outfit. Well, Vance Ginn, being an economist and economics being referred to as, what is it, the miserable science or something like that? Well, recently, Vance Ginn took to Twitter, and whenever the story begins with so-and-so, Republican maggot took to Twitter, you know what's coming. Vance Ginn tweeted, why not open schools, end universal mandates, target the vulnerable, and check those from Mexico? You got that? Vance Ginn advocated opening schools because most of the Texans dying from COVID-19 are elderly or Hispanic. That's bioterrorism. Ah, dismal science. Thank you, Lou, with the correction there. The dismal science. Thank you, Lou. There are big gaps in the data coming from Texas, naturally, because Texas doesn't exactly want people knowing how bad it is. Like other maggot states, they're working hammer and tongs to keep that information from getting out. of the deaths last month in Texas are listed as unknown in terms of ethnic breakdown. But Monday, the Texas Department of State Health Services did release numbers that show that Hispanic Texans are, to use a term, overrepresented in the updated fatality count. So Vance Ginn said, well, people most likely to perish from COVID-19 are people over 50, Hispanics. Their death rate went up from 24.8% on May 27th to 47.4% on July 27th. And Hispanics are about 40% of the state's population. And that's what led him to say, well, let's just open the schools. The only people who are going to die are Hispanics, Mexicans. And trying to explain away his racism, he told the Texas Tribune, what we're really focused on is how can we best make sure that Texans are taken care of during this time? I believe strongly, based on my deep faith, oh dear God, there we are, that every life is precious. My intent was to highlight the positive development of more data available to make better policy decisions and help the vulnerable. As of 2018-19, 53% of public school students in Texas are Hispanic. More than 60%. Are economically not okay. But, you know, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, economist, well, he's right there on board with Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who just, well, let them die. They need to die for the economy. And now the squabbling has begun here in West Virginia. Once upon a time, make West Virginia great, big old Governor Jim Justice and Joe Manchin were big buddies. It's said that Joe Manchin had a big hand in convincing make West Virginia great, big old Governor Jim Justice, getting him to run for governor as a Democrat. But now Joe is watching what's happening to West Virginia with the pandemic. And recall, please, that make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice is the state's only billionaire. And he took tens of millions of dollars in PPP money to prop up his businesses when he could have simply written a check and paid for it out of his own funds and never felt the loss. We've got a right-wing blather hour on the radio in West Virginia called Metro News Talk Line. It's hosted by a guy, a full-grown adult, who still goes by the name Hoppy. And he got Joe Manchin on, and Joe said there's $1.25 billion that was allocated for small businesses and local governments. And Joe said, this is nothing but a slush fund for Governor Jim Justice and other governors around the country that have not let their money go out. In West Virginia, only 3.5% of that money has been distributed. $44 million have gone to cities and counties so far. If you start playing with the people's money, especially when the governor starts playing with the money
the legislature should be involved in dispersing and calling it on his own during an election year. That's a slush fund. Well, Joe didn't, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice didn't like his a nickel's worth. So he had a press briefing, has one every day. And he said, "Guys, you know me. I can't do anything but tell you the truth. It's a lie. It's a lie. What Senator Manchin ought to do is concentrate on the job he has in D.C. and get that job done, and get that job done properly." I will not subject you to the audio of his press briefing. "In no way, shape, form, or fashion am I using the PPP monies for my own personal slush fund. I did take tens of millions of dollars and use it for my companies, but that don't make it a slush fund." Damn. Just, wow. Susan Collins is having a tough time of it these days. What with the Lincoln Project going after her and whatnot. Well, she thought she done had her a real humdinger Jim Dandy attack ad against Sarah Gideon, the woman who will oppose her in November. The ad didn't work quite as they had hoped. Oh, for Pete's sakes. Let's try that again. You know, first, like I said, the Lincoln Project went after her. That was pretty ugly.
"Independent leaders rise from Maine's hard soil, always have and always will. Take Margaret Chase Smith. When the men in the Senate were terrified of Joseph McCarthy, she called him out. Just like Susan Collins stands up to Donald Trump. Oh, wait. Susan Collins never stands up to Donald Trump. That's why Maine is done with her weakness and excuses. Collins isn't an independent. She's a fraud. Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump control her voice. She makes excuses for corruption, for criminality, for cruelty, all while pretending she's worried, concerned, hoping Donald Trump learns a lesson this time. He never does, because she never stands up, never speaks out, never does what a Maine leader should do. Susan Collins doesn't work for Maine, she works for them. And Maine deserves a leader, not a Trump stooge. It's time for Susan Collins to go. The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising."
Wow, a stooge? That had to sting. So like I said, she thought she had come up with, or her people thought they had come up with a really, really super duper kick-ass attack ad on Sarah Gideon. Only it turned out it wasn't so great after all. What is Sarah Gideon's top priority? And what it does with all that groovy game show music, it says, "What would some of your first priorities in the U.S. Senate be? making sure that we reform our electoral politics and making sure that people have bigger voice than corporations do. Speaker Gideon's number one priority is building an economy that works for everyone. Oh my. Maine House Speaker makes new gun school safety laws her absolute top priority. It's a Sarah Gideon ad that Susan Collins actually paid for. Maybe the Trump stupid is rubbing off on her too. But wait, there's more. In the Senate, sticking up for Mainers and putting money back into their pockets will always be my top priority, Sarah Gideon. But wait, there's more. Protecting the health and safety of our families and communities is our top priority. What's the point supposed to be here, that she has too many top priorities? It beats the hell out of trying to get my nose up the orange fundament of Donald Trump, because that's Susan Collins' top priority. But wait, there's more. Protecting Mainers with pre-existing conditions, lowering the cost of prescription drugs, and expanding access to health care will be my top priorities. Plural there, priorities, in the Senate. Oh, and they're so proud of themselves because they're citing to her tweets of, and given the date and everything. Sarah Gideon has so many top priorities, she can't keep them all straight. Oh, maggots is so stupid. And all of those little ring. Health and safety, the economy, gun safety, money in your pocket, drug costs. Pre-existing conditions. And they all appear on the screen. And then it all blows up. Isn't it time Sarah Gideon made Maine a priority? Susan, I know you're not the brightest bulb in the New England chandelier, but that's what you just said she's saying. Martha McSally, Fahm Tillis, Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, Susan Collins. Both Georgia seats. That's seven. And if they have the money that it looks like they have, the Lincoln Project may be able to go after them all in their individual districts. Because like Charlie Sykes said, root and branch. The Republican Party has got to be absolutely, irrevocably, and irremediably destroyed. It's them or us. Oh, as to being born wealthy, Darlene points out, yeah, but Bezos claims he was brought up poor but rich in love and support. And a child cannot attend daycare without a full day supply of diapers in tow. So lost school days for the child and work days for the parent due to diaper need are reported by families to be at least 4 days per month. It even impedes bonding between mother and baby because of the stress and guilt involved with keeping the baby in soiled diapers longer than recommended. Not to mention, but I will, the diaper rashes, the UTIs, and resulting medical bills for treatment. This is all factually documented in multiple clinical studies. Yet diapers are considered a luxury item. Just to stop them being taxed was an ordeal. All that, and I haven't even gotten to diaper wipes and pull-ups yet. This is why women in Congress are critical. Well, Democratic women. Yeah, because you're not gonna see Liz Cheney out there on a
on a great diaper equality crusade. At least until such time as her daddy Dick needs them. Oh, that was cold, wasn't it? Sorry. Lee in New York, Sarah Gideon, as opposed to Susan Collins, whose top priority is being concerned. Yep. Dateline, September 1, 2020. Comment from Dave number 11. Biff brought back a newspaper. Capitol Hill collectively bowed their heads and held a moment of silence to acknowledge those lost due to the Freedom Caucus's July LARPing and smolicking and grabulating without masks event. In an unrelated event, noted purveyor of champagne Dom Perignon noted today that for the first time in the company's history, all of their stock has been sold. Yeah, that's the direct economic impact and emotional impact of Louis Asparagus Gohmert giving the Rona to the entire Republican carcass. Thank goodness, says Ron in Raleigh, we have Robert Bork to thank for not having so many choices. There's no such thing as monopoly, just as there's no such thing as racism. Remember the restaurant wars in the movie Demolition Man, where the only restaurants left were Taco Bell's? The way things are going, the choice you'll have soon is Amazon. Or Nunazon. Yeah, or the fact that, in Idiocracy, the only restaurant left standing is Carl's Jr.? Carl's Jr., fuck you, I'm eating. Oh, we managed to knock down a little bit more of the fundraising goal. Thank you to Elizabeth. Thank you very kindly. And thank you to an anonymous friend. That takes us down to $374. $374, so we actually have caught up on Monday and some of yesterday. And, let's see. It's $26 of yesterday. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Flavio pointing out, in Brazil, we used cloth diapers. My mother would wash them by hand. And then when I was old enough, I was taught to wash my siblings' diapers with coconut soap, which is just awesome on clothes. Disposable diapers were not used in the 1960s and 1970s in Brazil. It was all cloth back then, cloth diapers and safety pins. We didn't have a washer either. Just a big tank with a washboard. And of course, from an environmental standpoint, disposable diapers aren't nearly as disposable as they are held out to be. And there are still cloth diaper services, but that they are beyond the economic reach of most Americans, even if they're available. They're a nightmare in the landfill. They're toxic. And frankly, in a world in which if you've got a two-parent household, both parents are probably working an aggregate of four or five jobs, being able to do cloth diaper laundry approaches the impossible. And that's just part of the pinch that working people, and especially the working poor in this country, are subjected to. It's nothing but a day in, day out grinding down. If there is a way to make things harder for the working poor in this country, by God, some Republican will find it. or some recipient of wingnut welfare at some Republican think tank will find it. And then some maggot in the Congress will introduce it. No available daycare, but welfare to work. Thanks, Bill. Because, as I've pointed out year in and year out, this country has a punishment fetish. It manifests itself in how we handle so-called criminal justice. That is not at all well, and with an eye toward maximizing the misery involved. And it manifests as well in how we treat the working poor. Because we make it as miserable for them as we possibly can. And that all stems from our ugly, nasty, vile, hateful history of Calvinism. A Protestant religious theory that says that if you're well off, that's the proof that God likes you. And if you're not, that's the proof that he doesn't. Which is why I refer to him as a great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. Maybe a better term would be a great big bearded psychopath in the sky. Jeremy in Vermont says, diapers and Dick Cheney, Bob? Really? You just single-handedly ruined Billable Rick's late snack and took a pretty good whack at dinner everywhere else world time-wise. Yeah, let's not forget that where the podcast is concerned, I ruin meals 24/7. There's probably somebody out there that I'm ruining, you know, probably ruining a meal in a Waffle House somewhere. The server walks up and says, "Chwomp." And the member of the community takes out an earbud and says, "Nothing now." Families and insecurity, economic, food, diapers. Darlene points out, yeah, the families actually average 3 adults and 2 children. So a grandmother is living with them and both parents are working. And they still can't make it. In the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now today, in the universe forever under God, amen. Yep, that was a thing once upon a time. Ron and Raleigh points out, when I was a kid, there was a diaper service not too far from my house called Didi. They had trucks and they picked up door to door. This is the part where I won't make a joke about it being a shitty job. And I understand completely. Randy in PA says, I will not be satisfied until Henry Kissinger is dribbling oatmeal. Ain't that the damn truth? Darlene went out and did some Horn ad hoc research department work. And we now have the clip that she had referred to, a story from Fast Company titled, "We Called It Amazon Heroin. Congress Makes Jeff Bezos Listen to Stories from Crushed Businesses." Here we go.
If Amazon didn't have monopoly power over these sellers, do you think they would choose to stay in a relationship that is characterized by bullying, fear, and panic?
With all respect, Congresswoman, I do not accept the premise of your question. That is not how we operate the business. Okay. Right. And in fact, we work very hard to provide fantastic tools for sellers. And that's why they've been successful.
Thank you for that. Mr. Bezos, I'm going to close with giving the bookseller the opportunity to finally be heard by you.
Mr. Bezos,
We increased our sales on Amazon by 5 times in the past 3 years. And we have contributed that much of proportional seller fees to Amazon. We have contributed that much to your business to 5 times. We followed all the rules that were set by you. We please, you know, just help us in earning a livelihood. We beg you, there are 14 lives at stake. Please, please, please help us get back on track.
With that, I yield back the balance of my time.
Thank you.
Now, the question is, did that even matter to Jeff Bezos? Is there enough of a conscience there? Or something resembling a conscience? That bookseller had been deplatformed, delisted, and couldn't get any response to their queries as to why. David Sicalin did a pretty good job as well. And that's where the line Amazon heroin comes from. David Sicalin quoted an Amazon seller who said, "We called it Amazon heroin. Amazon strings you along for a while because it feels so good to get that paycheck every week. But they only strung them along until they came up with a copycat product that was a direct knockoff of the number one product of that particular seller. And then, well, they were done." But Jim Shorts Jordan, he's got his priorities in order. He's worried about paranoid fantasies of shadow banning, which isn't even a real thing. And just to sort of keep track of, you know, this being prayer meeting Wednesday and everything, Sean, don't really know how to pronounce his name, F-E-U-C-H-T, Sean Fucked. He's a gospel sharp in California. He ran for Congress even. As a maggot, of course. Well, he doesn't like the rules pertaining to attempting to stop the spread of COVID-19 in California. You can probably guess what he calls it. Our freedom to worship God and obey his word has come under unprecedented attack. Powerful politicians and social media giants have engaged in uncharted abuses of religious liberty, silencing the faith. Uncharted abuses? I think the Constitution of the State of California is, in fact, a charter of sorts, so it can't be uncharted. Silencing the faithful, banning our voices, and outright attacking our God-given right to declare his goodness. Yes. He's so good, he's killing us off, taking us to heaven with his COVID. No, he didn't say that. States across America, including here in California, shut down church services and even outlawed singing in church. Instagram and Twitter is censoring Christian voices every single day. And every hour that passes, they grow bolder in their efforts to silence the faithful. It's time for the church to rise up with one voice and tell our government leaders and the rulers of big tech that we refuse to be silenced. Or, you know, they could just follow the law and go in a closet and say their prayers like Jesus told them to, and stop with all the shenanigans and hysterics and drama. And then there's Deanna Lorraine. Forgive me when I say that sounds like a drag name if there ever was one, but no. She's one of the usual suspects. And, of course, she's deeply concerned
about, wait for it, wearing a mask. Because, of course. And nanoparticles. Get the hockey puck.
I don't want any kind of vaccine ever, but especially not one that is conducted at warp speed and that is skipping all the animal testing and skipping all the normal vaccine protocols for testing. Why would you want that? I mean, no Democrat, Republican, no one should want that. It should be a...
Okay, for about 15 seconds here, she's actually making sense. I support vaccination completely, but I don't trust a president who talked about putting lights inside our bodies and disinfectants to have a legitimate vaccine. Once, if we can get Joe Biden elected and get him into office, then we'll have a fighting chance of having science instead of whatever it is that, well, instead of Trump driving the struggle for a vaccine, if there even can be one.
Nonpartisan issue that no one wants that kind of crap in your body that hasn't been properly tested and that has been verified to have mouse genes inside of it, that has robotic nanoparticles inside of it. I don't want
robotic nanoparticles, huh? Gee, and there I was worried about the genes from the monkey jellyfish hybrids from the markets of old Kowloon.
Robotic nanoparticles in my body, I'm sorry.
And, I'm sorry?
Yeah, we don't want any of that crap.
No.
But this is the war that it's becoming. It is much, much more than just a mask. And actually, I ran out of time today, but I have some biblical verses that I'll share with you next time that shares biblically, God does...
Biblical verses about a virus when they didn't even know what a virus was, or a germ, or a bacteria. Or a disease process. They just kind of lumped it all under plague.
Does not want us wearing masks. Masks are a symbol also of hiding yourself, of doing bad deeds, inappropriate deeds, or malicious things that you need to hide from. And it is also a symbol of stripping us of our unique identity, because we're wearing a mask. We're not unique anymore.
You're not unique anymore. You can't tell who somebody is if you're wearing a mask. Mama, is that you? Daddy! You get the idea that this woman's education ended with P.D. Eastman's Are You My Mother? Snort!
We're all the same. And God doesn't see us that way. He sees us as he created all unique individuals.
Wow, the all-powerful creator of the universe can't tell who you are if you're wearing a mask. That's a pretty pissant little God she's got going on there.
He also sees us as being good, and anyone who is doing good deeds should not be living and hiding in the shadows behind a mask. And lastly, a mask is a symbol of fear. You're living in fear. If you have a mask on, it means you actually don't trust God. You don't...
No, it means you do trust science, you twit. I'm sorry to just constantly hammer this, but we've got to get it all the way down to our toenails. Evangelical Christians are the most dangerous virus spreaders in this country. And they all think that they're going up to heaven and everything, so they don't much care who they take with them. James in Illinois. What God wants? What God says? How the fuck do they know? How could anyone know? Oh, they know. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Darlene in Connecticut in agreement with Randy in PA. Yeah, the criminal Henry K. lives a few towns over from me, and he has a much younger wife to wipe the dribbled oatmeal from his mug. Word on the street is she's bored as fuck and runs out to talk to any delivery and home renovation guy that stops in, or maybe to see if he'll give her a... Oh, I better quit while I'm ahead as my mind is going to a devious place. to give her a... Frigidaire? I mean, we're talking about a delivery guy after all. No, I don't think... I don't think Darlene means Frigidaire. Slammo, Darlene. Thanks, says Shorty in L.A. Cynthia with a note. Hi, Bob. Just got out of the shower. Not sure what all I missed, but on this Wednesday, go to meet in church night. Religion is a virus that infects the mind, and you are one of the best vaccines against it. Well, thank you, Cynthia. That and science and philosophy and critical thinking. Oh, Bob, we sure could use more of that. I keep thinking about calling in one day to say hello, Cynthia says, but being the old transsectional that I am shy and hate my voice. Oh, don't be shy and don't hate your voice. Everything would be fine. We've even had people, Bill Mr. Stress Miller even had a stroke on air, and he got okay. Thanks to folks like, our buddy Thomas, Jug of Punch. Isaac. The old transsexual. Forgive me, Cynthia, if that sounds like it should have something in writing. It should be on a bottle of brown liquor, and underneath old transsexual should appear the words bottled in bond. Yep. It's a virus, and they're trying to kill us.
You don't have faith. You're living in fear instead of faith. And, of course, the Marxist globalist Satanists that are pushing all this.
Marxist globalist Satanists. I bet they throw one hell of a party. See what I did there? Hell of a party, Satanists. Yeah. Sometimes these things just come unbidden.
They are trying to invert reality and pervert God. And Christians.
How do you pervert the most powerful being in the entire universe? Just Broadway show tunes? What?
And they want to take us away. They want to isolate us from God, isolate us from other humans, and make us, and deprive us of that faith so that we rely on the government, the media, telling us what to do and telling us whether to be fearful or not.
Instead of relying on a book by written by people who didn't understand why it rained and were baffled by wheelbarrows. Right. Who the fuck is this nut? Asks Jack in Shreveport. I'm really getting where I'm hating religion. At least the nuttery. Well, that's the thing, Jack. It's all nuttery. This is Deanna Lorraine. She's even run for Congress, having noted in the past things like Hillary Clinton is coming after your babies. That's one of her biggest hits. And back in May, she was promising that she was going to go undercover as a contact tracer to expose the plandemic. Yep, she's one of those. But she's having trouble. Her faith is being sorely tested. She's signed on with QAnon and everything. But it's not always easy. No. You know, one of their taglines is trust the plan. And it's not working for her.
A lot of people say this is for optics, okay? You know, there's the theory that this is all just optics. Look weak when you're really strong and in control. Trust the plan, trust the plan. But, you know, as much as I want to trust the plan, and I've had very much faith since day one, it's
very
getting
much
a little bit dicey, let's be honest. And it doesn't look like Patriots are in control and winning here. I want to trust the plan, but at the same time, we've got 3 months till the election, and we have to look at the reality of it, and the reality doesn't look It doesn't look good for us. The reality looks like we're getting our freedoms infringed on more every single day.
Now, bear in mind, she's doing all this without a mask on. But that's okay, because maybe she's alone in the room. I'm not wearing a mask right now. I'm in the fabulous Horn Studio sauna. Hell, I'm not even wearing clothes. But that's not the larger point here. What do you want to bet she socially isolates? What do you want to bet she cuts down her contact? Because she's telling other people not to wear a mask. But, well, she's confident. She doesn't have to worry about getting the Rona. She's young and pretty. She won't get it. That's for those people.
Q is now, we can't even talk about that anymore on the internet. No social media, Facebook, Twitter. If we talk about it, or if we're even associated with anything that has been mentioned in the last couple of years, we are going to get deplatformed permanently.
And yet, somehow or another, she manages to keep putting these videos out.
So, I'm sorry, but it doesn't look like Patriots are in control. We're just sitting back and waiting and waiting.
What if Patriots are in control? What if Patriots are in control of the House of Representatives and that's all they're in control of? What if those are the Patriots, Deanna Lorraine? What if?
But, this is like a save our ship situation, I think. I don't think this is optics. I don't really think that this is just optics. I would love to believe that it's just optics, but what kind of optics is this? That we're...
Yeah, she sounds so insanely sincere that you have to wonder how she manages to get up and get dressed every morning. How does this person live from one day to the next? But then again, they're all over the place. I know some personally. And they sound perfectly rational until for some reason or another they feel the need to start telling you about Q or the secret colony on Mars. And yet here she is, a follower of QAnon, which has its origins in conspiracies about a pedophilia ring. When there really is a pedophilia ring, and the guy she thinks is going to take down the pedophilia ring has been involved with it for years, alongside his buddies, Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, whom he hopes the best for.
We're losing control. I know that he's upsetting a lot of his base right now with his actions and with him, you know, starting these coronavirus press conferences again, yet going along with the lies and not actually exposing the truth. Tweeting out that masks are patriotic. And then, really, we haven't had any measurable actions taken against this huge big tech censorship. We've only gotten more and more constrained and suppressed.
Yeah, she's so suppressed. So suppressed. Deanna Lorraine is. I didn't know suppressed was a synonym for nuts. Apparently it is. Bob, stop telling us how proud you are of all the meals that you ruined because of your program. I didn't say I was proud. Did I? Anti-vaxxer for Jeebus and God, Mike in Cascadia, says, Bob, I'm mowing, so I missed a bit. Did this twit testify before Congress? If so, Scott is so right, we're all screwed. No, she didn't testify before Congress. She ran for Congress. Which in its own way is even more terrifying. Jeremy, keeping a pulse on the conspiracy theory front. A new one is that if we send kids back to school with masks, it will help sexual predators move and steal your kids. Fuck. All caps. Fuck. And, you know, it has been a few days. I wanted to mention, since we heard from Kyle, and I don't know if you're listening or not, Kyle, but you told us why you wouldn't be checking in. And I just want to let you know that I hope you and all those affected by the loss of your friend are okay. Bob, I say again, these so-called fundamentalist Christian women are not Christians at all. They have to look. Please put on your tinfoil hat, bury yourself in your bunker, and leave the rest of us the hell alone. Signed, your friendly neighborhood atheist, Dave in the Blind. Yep. Oh, what else? Just to wrap things up. Hey, we all know how much I enjoy Trader Joe's. Yeah, I'm a, well, I don't know that anywhere is safe, but at least when I go to the Kroger or the Food Lion or the Wally World, most people do appear to be wearing masks, and most people do appear to be keeping some distance. Well, it was earlier this month in New York City. The NYPD has arrested a pair of guys who 2 weeks ago, near midnight, went into a Trader Joe's there. And when they were asked to put on masks, they attacked the workers who asked them. In a report from Vice News, quote, one of the customers ripped a mask off the face of the employee who asked them to wear masks, pummeled an employee over the head with a wooden paddle, and pulled the hair of a third worker. That from a spokesperson for the NYPD. The employee who was pummeled with the wooden paddle started bleeding from their head and had to go to the hospital. For people familiar with Trader Joe's, they use the wooden paddles. They hold the paddle up to show that they're ready to check out the next customer. The men told an employee that masks would not be necessary after the upcoming election. Meaning that if Trump is reelected, he'll just let the country burn. But then again, he's already letting the country burn. Dave, number 11, reminds us there were more than 1,400 COVID deaths today. That's the most since May the 15th. And it's not going to get any better as long as Donald Trump remains the President of the United States. I'm at the point where I actually wonder if maybe it might get a little better if Pence was. I know. Heresy. But you can't say how can it get any worse, because there's always a way. God Almighty. 1,400 shattered families today. 150,000 plus shattered families. Friendships, neighborhoods. I found out last night, and I don't know what took him. I don't know what the cause was. But I found out last night that a boy, who grew up just up the street from me, had passed away. My age. Out of decency, I didn't ask what the cause was. But it's hard not to wonder. 1,400 COVID deaths today. Meanwhile, Meanwhile, in Hope Mills, North Carolina, this.
I'm going to go down the food line. It's about to go down the food line.
Get on out of here. Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah, there's the word.
Oh, my Jesus.
This is an African American employee at Food Lion asking a white man to put on his mask.
Oh boy. Oh shit. I know. Oh man. That man call him a nigga. Mm. Mm-mm. Don't touch him, baby. Don't touch him. Don't touch him, baby. Please don't touch him.
Yeah, obviously it's a white guy with a bunch of, he's wearing some sort of sleeveless shirt and got a backpack. Hope Mills, North Carolina. The guy with with the sleeveless shirt and a backpack, turns out his name is Eric Shane Cahoon. He's 41 years old. And he got the book thrown at him, charged with ethnic intimidation, disorderly conduct by abusive language, communicating threats, intoxicated and disruptive behavior, and second-degree trespassing. Wasn't near enough a body of water for stream littering. All because he would not put on a mask. And another older white guy standing next to him, also with no mask on. And all the guy was doing was saying, either put the mask on or leave. Oh, but he's not gonna be told that. Because, you know, white guy.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord.
Bet I know how he votes. Don't you? I guess this is what he meant when he said, make America great again, huh? And meanwhile, Nitwit Nero wants to sell hydroxychloroquine without a prescription because he's got some sort of a financial interest in it. James in Illinois, the scariest time, the transition. If the Don loses, what'll he do? Remember how Saddam left Kuwait, burning wells, Iraqi troops buried alive, or Kuwaiti troops, I guess, buried alive? No telling what he might do or what his followers might do. James, I think we're getting a pretty good idea here and now. So, that's it. Prayer meeting, another prayer meeting Wednesday. In the can. Thanks to all of you for joining in the conversation this evening. Here endeth the lesson, as the saying goes. Thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve and Georgia Stan for in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Remember, freshly brewed, double-hopped Malloy on tap, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Your best listening experience from Aloy is right here at HeadOn.live. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please. It's getting weirder out there. Of course, we predicted it would. However weird yesterday was, today will be weirder still. However weird today turned out to be, tomorrow will be even weirder. And it's weird, and it's dangerous, and they're violent. Stay home if you can. It is a scary thing, this virus. Made more so by the willingness of idiots and fools to spread it. So by all means, if you have to be out, maintain your social distance. Wear your mask. It doesn't stop you from breathing. You know this. It doesn't make you get the Rona, as Louis Asparagus Gohmert claims. All it does is help prevent the spread of the particles. Again, we could flatten the curve in 4 to 6 weeks, anytime we want to. But we're on our own. So wear your mask. Don't touch the mask. If you touch the mask, carry some hand sanitizer with you and immediately sanitize. Wash your hands. And by all means, if you see one of these Lulus, avoid them like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.